Let's all pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you that it is your Holy Spirit that draw these people here. Oh Father, tonight I ask Father God that you let your Holy Spirit teach. I'm just nobody. Therefore, Father, let everybody know that it is the Holy Spirit. It is you, Jesus, Master, Savior, is behind this pulpit. Father God, I surrender myself to you. And Father, in any area that I felt inadequate, Father, I know that your Holy Spirit is doing the work and not me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for wisdom and understanding. We pray for a receptive heart that, Father, we will be filled. Our hurt, our hunger will be filled by your word, because your word says that your word is the cross. Your word is sharper than two-edged sword. Your word is the final authority in any problem. And Father, we present to you the church family. And Father, we want you to perfect the family. That's why we are here. In Jesus' name, we commit our heart, our mind, our spirit to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Last week, I'm supposed to finish on the part about husband, love your wife. And I hope I didn't give the man a big bang tonight. And you know, King Esther found grace and favor before King Ahasuerus. I pray that whatever I say, found grace and favor before the man. Amen? And I respect men, just like I love. I ask Holy Spirit teach me to love and respect my husband. Ever since I'm married, this is always is my prayer. You know, if the neck don't want the head, how the neck is going to work? I think it's ridiculous. And I know deep in my heart, God has anointed many men of God, even in the family. God anointed the husband to lead. And I believe the Lord has a ministry for every man in the family, in the society, in the church itself. That's why we women respect the man. Can the women say amen? Okay. Husband, love thy wife. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 31 to 32. Before that, we read verse 25. Husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the cleansing of water by the word. Verse 26. Go on to verse 28. So husband ought to love their own wife as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. So let the wife see that she respects her husband. Many times, we know that Christ loved the church. How Christ had poured down his life in Ephesians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, let's turn to it. Verse 7 to 11. The whole passage, it talks about how Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of servants and coming in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. We know that Christ poured his life, he humbled himself, and in humility he took off the form of a man, and how he suffered, he paid the price. We know that salvation is not free. Someone has paid the heavy price. That someone is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And I remember my headmaster told me when I was Form 3, because I used to went in to the teachers, and every year I renew my application for the scholarship. He used to tell me, "Girl, you know, nothing is free in this world." I said, "Yes, sir." He wanted me to study hard. I still remember how he put pressure on me. You see, the first girl in the form I had 7A1. Thank God we don't have to study under pressure, especially Christian children. God is your source. God is your wisdom. Amen? Nothing is free in this world. Jesus has paid the price, and he paid a heavy price for the church. That's why we have the church today, a glorious church. And the best has yet to come. Because of what Jesus has done, his second coming is going to be even more glorious than what he's preparing us for his coming. Amen? And I know in my heart that tonight there are a lot of men, you are doing your best, loving your wife, and you know that your wife is the bones of your bones, flesh of your flesh, and it's God's gift to you. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. We take care of our presents, especially young children. We buy them presents. But nowadays, I believe the children need to learn to appreciate presents. So do the wife. The husband, learn to appreciate the wife. The first commandment that the Lord gives in Ephesians chapter 5 to the husband is, husband, love your wife. It is not given by your wife. It's not a commandment from your wife. It's from the Lord Jesus to Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Many times we husbands like to tell the wife, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and submit yourself to me, or in 1 Peter 3. Wife should be submissive to husband, so you therefore listen to me, I'm your head. And when the husband do this, please, may the Holy Spirit remind the husband, thou fulfill the first commandment to yourself first. Love thy wife. Amen? Yes. Amen. Many times, we husbands, I believe, there are a lot of lovely husbands in this church. That's why we have a lot of lovely wives. Without lovely husbands, there will be no lovely wife. Amen? Lord, amen. Amen. Keep up, man. Amen? Yes, Lord, amen. And I believe strongly, with a lot of obedience and lovely husband, they will be lovely and obedient wife. If there is lovely and obedient wife, there are lovely and obedient children. Amen? Amen. Amen. But sad to say, sometimes, especially husband of the world, some of them, I know the scripture, they say, oh, I'm the head. And some husband claim to know the Lord, walk close with the Lord, but actually they don't really love the Lord. They don't really lay down their life for the wife or for the children, for the family. And sometimes they use the scripture, tell the wife, you submit to me. Submission is not get by, you give me, demanding. Don't forget that your wife is made with a precious and special choice and given to you by the Lord. You have to win her over. Even if you want her to submit, you have first to be a man that is called to be a head, and you really pay a price and set a good example by humility. Many husbands say, why should I humble myself? But do you know that whoever thinks she's great, or I'm the head. Secondly, the wife is below me, then the children, then my work, everything in the pyramid. I'm the head, I'm high on top. Remember, if you think there is a way, at least you fall from the highest pyramid that you built. I believe that in a family life, the husband who is the head should serve God together with the wife. And it's always whatever thing we do, we put the wife and the children as a circle. God is the center. Amen? And we husband, we need to humble ourselves. You know why? When Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him. Amen? We need to humble ourselves as husband because it just don't come automatically that the headship of the family come just because God say it. You have to earn for it. You have to work for it. Just like Christians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus has paid a heavy price. I don't know about you. I was a young Christian. I really worked out my salvation with fear and trembling. And just last week I shared with you how I made mistakes. I said, Lord, what a so much mistake I make. And when I was a young Christian, I was so jealous. And I made my heart, I made my mother mad, my father so mad. Lord, your grace is so good and so abounded unto my life. When I look back especially, I knew that it is not by my own strength. And I know, Lord, I want my family to be safe. I know that there is a promise. But I know I have to work out a way. And they themselves in turn will work out their salvation. I remember when I first went to serve the Lord, that was a great struggle because all my family had a great high expectation on me. And when I said, no, I'm going to serve the Lord, I really shattered my parents' dreams. But I told the Lord, you know what a great step I took. But the Lord said, no, I will promise within a short term your father will become a Christian. When I entered the seminary, less than 3 months, the first term finished, the second term began. My father was admitted to the hospital for the fourth time operation. He was sick, he was down with more than one type of sickness. And I know the Lord had given me the bonus and the strength to really lay down the life and humble myself. Whatever mistake I make, I humble myself. And you know what the Lord led me to do? He made me so humble that I will say sorry to my father for whatever mistake I've done, and now I really love him with the love of Jesus. I will not answer and criticize, argue over the religion. I will serve him. You know, one of the sickness he got is tuberculosis. And we have all our family cleaned up and have go for injection. I happen to be not at home, so I'm not injected. But I stayed in the hospital, look after him. I took leave from the seminary, and that was at least more than 2 months. I don't know how I did it. I look back. It was God's grace and humility and strength in my life. He accepted a lot. He prayed, and one Christian sister came over and laid hand over him. He was playing in the street, started to pray in tongues, and I did the follow up by praying with him every day. And I tell you, it's not easy to stay in a hospital at night, in a general hospital, Penang General Hospital. You see left and right every night, patients pass away. And you have to bathe and eat there. To bathe in a hospital toilet is not a nice thing. Sometimes you enter the toilet, suddenly someone flush the toilet, all the thing that is dirty got into your feet. It must be God's grace, humility. And all my sisters looked down to me and said, what is this girl doing? But I knew it is the Lord. If husbands, you decide to love your wife and lay down your life and be obedient to the Lord will give you strength, not your own strength. You don't understand your wife.
But God understands. God will pour His love into your heart, and you will love her. She'll be so precious to you, because women is a special species of creature God has created that is meant for men to love, to hug, to kiss, to cherish. And that is when they become more valuable. Amen? Give yourself to Him. Husband, give yourself to your husband. Give yourself to the wife. Verse 25. Let's look at verse 26. Second thing the husband needs to do is to be a spiritual head, a spiritual leader. You must sanctify yourself by the word. Cleanse and washing of the water by the word. Like Jesus washed the church with the word, perfect the church with the word. It's his husband's responsibility to take upon himself the responsibility to feed himself spiritually, grow spiritually, grow in fasting, in prayer, in meditation of the word of God. Then he himself fit to be a head to lead his wife. You know, many times wife have problem to submit to the husband because the husband is not spiritual enough and he is not leading spiritually. And I tell you, women got a lot of zeal, especially in the spiritual side. Some women over zealous, you know what they do? They say, maybe tonight you go eat outside, I will attend Bible study. Anyone you do that tonight, repent. So husband, don't leave behind. Be the spiritual head. Amen. And if we ourselves, we husband, if we do not know the word of God, we cannot minister to our children. Not only we cannot minister to our wife. And the sad thing is that many husbands take family, take wife, they arrange the priority in a pyramid. Oh, business come first, second and family, and they got their order important. You sow what you reap, ma'am. If you think that family is secondary, your business more important, your office work more important, or your church work, if you are a minister, you think your ministry more important, you sow what you reap. You know why? If you don't give time attention to your family, you don't expect your wife to give time attention to your family. That is not fair. Because marriage is, family is built up by husband and wife. If you being the head, don't show the example, wife who to follow? Follow Jesus, huh? When many wise women, Christian women, they follow Jesus. No wonder they love Jesus so much. But I believe husbands, we need to divide the time, not to say equally, but reasonably, to know that it is always a circle towards God who is the center and not a pyramid. And my husband loves to do that. He used to tell me one time, I told him, I'm not going this trip to overseas. It's too much to travel with children. And moreover, it's too expensive. Maybe I can save up some. And one time I talked to him, he booked the ticket, I canceled the ticket. And he said, have you prayed about it? I said, yes, yes, yes. I'm very determined not to go. And then he said, you made a mistake now, you might not realize it right now. Maybe after 10 years you'll reap what you sow. Wow, that really made me. After everybody sleep that night, I pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Lord, you want me to go, I'm willing. And that night when I sleep, I dreamt that he was in that place to minister. And that is a foreign place that one look at it, is I was there in the overseas in a meeting place. And I was there praying for him. He is there teaching the people how to build up spiritual muscle by praying in tongues, doing all the gymnastics. I said, Lord, when I wake up, what is all this? Oh yes, before I wake up from the dream, I saw him, he turned to me. after ministry, what's there to eat? So the next day I share with him what happened. He said, okay, I will go. You know why that trip I don't want to go? I got good reasons. Besides the two reasons I give you. I thought, I want to stop breastfeeding my child. Without him, I can use other methods. In the past, I tried to stop breastfeeding my son. For more than 3 years, I tried to stop. One time, two times, not successful. And worldly method, they will teach me, spank the child, I put tiger balm. I put one time after crying for one feeding, don't have the hysterical crying, I stopped. Please wipe it off. My son told me to wipe it off. Goodness. So that was the time that I don't want to fall into the trip. I thought, he loves the son so much, I also love the son so much, but I cannot stand his misuse, the breastfeeding way. You know, one of the things he will ask me, lie down with him and let him suck for 1 whole hour. I could not stand. And Lord, you know my cry. I'm not selfish. I want to go. I want to follow my husband. I want to bring the children along. And his point is the children to follow along because ministry is not important compared with the children. Children are also important. And what is that? To glorify the Lord, if you gain the whole and you want 1 million souls and your children are lost. And Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, the whole America, the whole Australia, the whole world, if one soul got lost, there's nothing. The one soul is more important than all this. So, after the dream, I felt guilty about my reasoning. I don't want to go because I want to stop breastfeeding and I can spank the child without him around. I love the child because I give birth to the child. I don't want to spank him just out of nothing. Say, maybe I should use spanking to stop. Say, Lord, okay. Lord, I will breastfeed even 5 or 6 years old. Oh, Lord, I surrender. I told the Lord. Now, after I made this surrender prayer and after I committed myself to go, he was very happy. Even through all the difficulties to rebook all the tickets and all this. And guess what happened? When I went there, my son decided not to suck the breast milk. And the beautiful part is, when I started saying, I don't want to disobey, I'm going, he stopped sucking 1 week before I go. And with the help of my husband just took him aside. You know, husband encouraged wife in a lot of things. I believe in raising up children. My husband helped me a lot in breastfeeding. He said, give, breastfeed him. Sometimes women turn out to be like a cow also. So you have to eat like a cow in order to produce a lot of milk. Because the husband says, give. So I realized that he also has a part to play because he's the one that encouraged me behind of breastfeeding. So he took the son aside and tell him, you're a big boy and it will be good that you stop sucking breast milk. And my son agreed. And you see, I believe the Lord know and understand. He will set everything in order if we seek him and please him, especially husband. No matter sometimes how tricky or wide it is, they will give in. Amen? Oh Lord, help us, Jesus. Now, when we talk about husband, love your wife, we know that we are not perfect. Husband, no one is perfect. How many of you husband is perfect here? Put up your hand. If you think you are perfect, I think you can go back now. I'm not perfect. My husband is not perfect. That's why he needs me to perfect him sometimes. We perfect one another through rubbing and learning, sometimes crying together. Amen? That's why marriage for, to build up one another. You know, sometimes three women, especially, when we overwork with housework, with many children, we tend to be negative. We need the man who is positive. Amen? We need men who is filled with God's word and positive to help us. And husband, don't be harsh with your wife. If your wife is negative, just watch out. She just needs your care and attention to for you to take her aside, to just to love her. And you'll find that if you love her, show time attention, give time attention to her, fill her with the word, especially if you see her need a retreat, take her for spiritual retreat, you'll find that she'll soon catch up. Amen? Yes. Amen. She will not be negative. Don't dwell on your wife's weakness. For any partner, anyone, even husband or wife, dwell on each other's weaknesses, the marriage is going downhill, it's deteriorating. God is not calling husband and wife together to be judge over one another and to point out each one's weakness so that they can grow stronger. That's not the way. God has called them to help one another. That's why wives are called to be a helpmate, especially to encourage, to bounce the ideas for the husband, encourage the husband, build the husband's confidence and not tear him down. If any marriage dwell on the weak point, the marriage is deteriorating. A marriage will grow, improve better each day if husband and wife dwell on each other's strong point. Amen? Amen. So, any nagging wife here, repent. And any domineering husband here, you need to hear, thou shalt not domineer your wife, because Jesus is the example. Jesus doesn't rule the church by, you obey me this way, you obey me that way, or else you lost your salvation. No, Jesus is so understanding, he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort you when you make mistakes. Comfort your wife when your wife makes mistakes. Don't be harsh with her. Don't use abusive words, negative words to hurt her. You know why? Women are very sensitive. Men are men of principles and they are very tough. Even their muscles are tough. And a lot of physical things pattern after the spiritual. And women are very gentle. Even physically, they are weaker. If a man were to put up a wall with a wife, you know who wins? It's not a fair. It's not a fair match. I believe women are made to be protected. That's why God take the rib under here. And God don't take the bone from here, from anywhere. Amen? Praise the Lord. I believe very strongly that husband needs to be Christ-like, like Jesus. Sanctified the church by the word. It is the husband ministry to build the wife up and build the wife into a strong spiritual woman. You know what my husband used to pray for me? And ever since the time I heard this statement of prayer, it touched my heart. I will never forget it. I think it happened about 8 years back. One time he prayed a prayer for me while we were praying together. Lord, help me to be an instrument to build Amy up so that she can be a strong woman of God. She can fulfill her ministry and calling. That touches me so much. I will never forget these prayers up till today. And I believe I'm here sharing the word is because he's behind babysitting. Thank you, Jesus, for good and obedient husband. I believe he is doing it unto the Lord. And we husbands learn to do all things unto the Lord, because the Lord Jesus, he himself humbled. He understands how you feel when you humble yourself. He says that, I and my Father are one. And I do what my Father command me. When Jesus obedient to the Lord, to the Father God, he is still a fully God. He is not in any way become a lesser God. Amen? Man, if you humble yourself, you build your wife up, in the end, you build your own life up. You build your family up. You build yourself up. Amen? You reap what you sow. Amen? Last week when I went back, I didn't sleep until 2:30. Because there was a... I thank you those brothers and sisters that encouraged me. But I saw in my niece, I somehow sent in the spirit, there are some that they have broken marriages because the husband had done, had hurt them, and hurt her so much. And there is a heaviness in me to pray for these people. And maybe these people are here, or not here tonight, doesn't matter. But I need to obey the Lord to just share a bit on marriage and divorce. From what I understand, the Lord loves the family and loves the husband and wife so much. He don't want to see any marriages broken up. And any time any marriage broke up, it is the responsibility of two, not always one. But I come across many sisters or even brothers, they pray and pray and pray and pray. They pray for the life partner not to leave them. They pray for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. They really learn to draw upon the grace of God upon their life. And because they pray, some marriages tear up. But some, like Moses said, Jesus quoted what Moses said, because of the hardness of the heart, the man divorced the wife. Or because we can do it in another way, because of the hardness of women's heart, they choose to go. And in the Bible, there is no way God encouraged marriages break up, but because marriage is free choice of both men and women, just like salvation, is given to you through all eternity. You can keep it. But because you've got free choice, you can lose it. Marriage also. When you build a covenant before the Lord, marriage belongs to God, you try your best to keep it. But if any party decided to break it, maybe commit adultery and walk out of it, any party on that period, a grace period, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord, crying the Lord. One thing, my heart goes with these people. And you know why? Nowhere in the Bible Jesus says that he wants to see marriages break up. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 10. A wife is not to depart from her husband. 11. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Here it seems that there is no room for divorce. The only reason there is no divorce because there is hope of reconciliation. But we know that marriage covenant make up of God, men and women. If any man don't want to keep the covenant, break the covenant, God cannot force that person to keep it. Not even the wife or both parties. And if there is no chance of reconciliation over a grace period of waiting and praying because of the hardness of the heart, I guess we just have to let the person choose their own destiny. I hope that will help you. And I just want to sing the song to minister to anyone. Maybe you are in this stage of deciding. Your hope is building up. Your marriage has got hope. And don't give up. Or maybe you have gone through a grace period. You thought, oh, my grace period is over. I'm already signed the paper. I'm finished. But Jesus is still your hope. Jesus is still your grace. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, it says that, my grace is sufficient for you. And the song sings from this verse. Though I may feel in the eyes of the world, there's a hope in glory for me. Though I may feel in the eyes of the world, There's a hope in glory for me, His grace is made perfect in weakness, and His grace is sufficient for me, for you, His grace, His grace. His grace is made perfect in weakness, and His grace is sufficient for you, for me. His grace, His grace, His grace is made perfect in weakness, and His grace is sufficient for me. Do you know that marriage is not the only hope in the life? Any single person, you are not married yet, God has a ministry for you. And Jesus is your conqueror. In Christ Jesus, you are more than conqueror. Amen. And we are here to learn and to live so that we might be glorified in heaven. Whatever mistakes we make in marriages, whatever stage you are in, turn to God for His grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We talk about marriage, and all of us, you might have good marriages today, but that doesn't mean that you don't need any improvement. Our marriage grow as our love for each other grow. And you know, love is the most important criteria and ingredient in marriage. We know that because of two imperfect people come together in marriage, they always need to adjust. You know what my husband used to tell those people who come for marriage counseling? I understand both of you love one another. Amen, amen. Yes, Pastor, have you all quarreled yet? Look at each other. And usually those have not quarreled yet, those have not gone through adjustment period, you have not learned to adjust with one another, my husband will say, go and quarrel first. We know that in marriage, because affection withdrawn together by the Lord, and then we go through a rubbing period, we adjust. And praise God if adjustment started after, started before marriage. If after marriage, it will be a rough time. You know, it will be so disappointing if you go for honeymoon, everything flow together, so fun, such a pressure, new marriage. And then soon after that, you find yourself rubbing and quarreling, fighting. Maybe the lady used the shoes, the husband used the fist. And that's why it would be good that if your adjustment period has started before you get married, so that your marriage will be strong. Amen? Amen. We talk about good marriage. Because we are imperfect, husband and wife used to come together and they will be rubbing one another, say the wrong word, hurt one another. And we know that this needs a lot of ointment from the Holy Spirit and a lot of prayer. And because of this, a good marriage make up of two good, very awfully good forgivers. You know, if a husband want to forgive the wife, or the wife want to forgive the husband, how on the world they are going to sleep together? Maybe the wife will turn this side, the husband turn that side. It's so funny. But one thing we know that if the husband learns to love the wife with Christ's love and understanding with the wife, being the head, if he behaves this way, usually the wife will respect. He is so forgiving. Why not me? And moreover, if a husband mixes it with prayer, there is no problem how to handle your wife. Amen? Let's turn to the verse on Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgive you. Be kind one to one another, and follow. There is a word tender-hearted before the word forgiving one another. Before you can forgive one another, you need to be tender-hearted. You need, it means you've got to be understanding. Put yourself in that person's position. Come down and understand the person. If you can do that, you can forgive without difficulty. A lot of times, marriages are destroyed because one party refuses to forgive. You know, if we don't learn to forgive one another, I don't think our children will learn how to forgive one another when they grow up. When they're young, we see the children so easily to forgive one another. But then when they grow old, their heart hardens. They will behave like the parents. We parents are a ministry unto the children. Not only for the wife's sake, the husband needs to be forgiving. Not only for the husband's sake, the wife needs to be forgiving. It is for the family's sake. It is for God's sake, even in the body of Christ. No perfect Christian here. Amen? Many times we think about marriages, we think of a lot of hardship, a lot of rocks. But then, if everything flow in God's way, husband being the head, and he ministered unto the wife, especially, understand the wife. If the husband come down to the wife level, understand the wife, there will be a lot of misunderstandings can be avoided. Especially, husbands, if we expect our wife to be a good housewife, to be the best minister of home affairs, we husbands need to put that expectation as equally high on ourselves first. Because the time and the care, the attention you give in the family will speak to the wife that, oh, this is important. And the wife will get the message, oh, you see, my husband thinks the family is so important. After all, I give up my job and stay in a home and looking after the children, raise the children up. It's very important. My husband appreciates it so much. You know why a lot of wives work outside the house? I'm not talking about some go to work because of financial situation, but some just wives just love to go out because they don't find importance, assurance, fulfillment of the family as a housewife because the husband never appreciates and the husband neglects it. So, husbands, for the ministry of the Lord, for the ministry of the family, for the ministry of the children, I pray that you change your priorities. Let the Lord Jesus, let the Holy Spirit change your heart tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's read another verse before we talk about actually tonight's topic on sex. Let's read about Genesis chapter 11 verse 4. Here he's talking about the peoples. They try to build the Tower of Babel and they say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. These people is interested of making themselves a name. Many times in marriage, if we think that we can make a name for the family and for our own selfish purpose, God will come against it. Even the unity of marriage will be destroyed. Marriage is not for making a name for yourself, but God is the center of marriage. because God is the center of marriage, I believe very strongly that in our marriage life, whatever problem we come across, whatever disunity, I believe we can bring it to prayer and turn to the Lord. And it is the Lord that exalt you. It is the Lord that bring the unity together. And it is the Lord that pour the blessing when such a unity is unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, whatever area I have not covered and filled to cover, Father, I depend on your Holy Spirit. You help these people, your body of Christ. Father God, you continue to pour your wisdom and understanding. And Father, in the name of Jesus, let your word continue to come forth in clarity and in power and in your might. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Asian family, I find that most of the time, husbands fail to recognize the importance of women in the public. One time I went overseas, one foreigner told me, I went to your church. You remember who and who introduced himself to me, but the wife is just beside him. I don't know why he didn't introduce the wife. Well, this is not the man doing out of purpose or out of nasty, neglect the wife. I believe that sometimes maybe we are influenced by our culture, our pattern, our lifestyle, but whatever mindset we have, I believe if we bring it to the Lord will help us to change. And because if a family, in a family, the wife status is recognized, is fulfilled, even in the public, she is recognized and put in an important place, I believe very strongly that the family is heading at the right and better direction. Amen? Now, we continue on the aspect of sex. Sex life makes up only a part of the marriage life. But sometimes, because of disharmony in the sex life, the marriage falls. Just like in a car, the starting spark might not be important. But without the spark part, the car cannot start. I believe that God is the one that created sex. And when God created it, God wants men and women to know that it is something sacred. It's something to be taken awesome responsibility. It is a duty. It is not just merely a pleasure or something fun and creative. And let's read a scripture, Ephesians 5:31-32. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage life sometimes is referred to a mystery. The sex and the unity of the husband and the wife in the marriage act symbolized and patterned after the spiritual unity, and the actual actions, the actual marriage act is actually patterned after the spiritual unity, and God called it a mystery. But many young girls, young men, or even sometimes we married couple, we don't understand, and because we fail to understand and we have the wrong attitude, that's why our marriage suffer. One time I was counseling one sister. She was so much disappointed and confused over her relationship. And she just said, what is so important about marriage? After all, it's just a sperm fertilized an egg and producing baby. And this is just a statement thrown out of frustration without much understanding about marriage. And sex is not the only reason to get married. And we know that God ordained marriage. He ordained sex. And because God is the one that created it, God put responsibility. You know that it is the husband and the wife's responsibility to fulfill one another sexual desire, let's look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3 to 5. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It talks about husband and wife render to one another. When both husband and wife got married, the unity is there. And the sexual act is just patterned after the spiritual unity. And because there is spiritual unity, there must be harmony. Whenever disharmony happens, and maybe the wife say, oh, this is my body. When any disagreement or things happen between them, okay, the wife might say, this is my body. The husband says, this is my body. And they even use sex as a weapon. Maybe one don't give in to the another's desire. You know, if they do that, they'll destroy the marriage. Over a simple quarrels and misunderstanding, which can be settled by prayer, learning to say sorry one another, instead maybe the wife pull out a cannon, boom, shoot at the butterfly, using a big, turning into a big issue. Have you imagined? You can settle the butterfly just by a butterfly net. Don't destroy your marriage, the garden of marriage, over small issue. And it is not the right of husband and wife to say no to one another when it is your duty to fulfill one another's desire. Amen? And verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does, and likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. You know why marriages break up and end up divorced? Because in marriage, the unity is the physical unity patterned after the spiritual unity. And the wife has not asked the permission of the husband, let's say committed adultery, and actually she is giving the husband body away. But we know that whatever mistake we make, when we come to the understanding the Word of God, the Word of God is the answer. The Word of God is going to change our attitude, and He is going to make perfection out of every imperfection. Amen? Let's read on to verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with a consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you. The word tempt is actually, it means that become a stumbling block. You know that if any husband and wife refuse to give one another and fulfill one another's desire, and you will cause one another to stumble, to fall. Maybe the wife falls into sin with another man, or maybe the man falls into sin with another woman. And actually, husband and wife is the greatest stumbling block to one another if the sex problem is not solved in God's order and God's way. And I believe many times there is disharmony of sex problem, there's also in the area that what God says is that we need to go aside and fast and pray as a Christian. When we learn to fast and pray, we seek God, God will give us control over our sex life. You know, God patterned the women's body, the menstrual cycle, in such a way that there is a fertile period where intercourse is not advisable. It is because God wants the men and women to exercise control. Later I will dwell on this topic more. We are talking about control. Any marriage that without control, sure, will go into problem. You know why there is extramarital affair? Because men learn not how to have control, or women have learned how to control their sexual desire. They thought they can be attracted and fulfilled by another person. Now, in the verse 5 here, it talks about fasting and prayer and come together again. There's a time, a period of control, and then come back together again. Marriage does not give men or women a license to be sex maniac. Somebody say it, not me say it. Oh Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. And we know that in any sexual relationship, before there is any before any entering into the actual act itself, the background and the atmosphere. When I talk about atmosphere, I refer to the husband and wife, how they live together, they serve one another, the service. The atmosphere is produced by you serve one another, the service. The first thing, second thing, the atmosphere is produced by the anticipation you give one another. And the third thing, when we talk about atmosphere, we talk about setting. What type of atmosphere that you need to prepare yourself before you enter the actual act or marriage. Actually, people look at it, maybe they think, oh, it's just a short thing, it's just a short drama. Husband and wife used to enjoy it. It's a very short love story. But actually, it's not that short. Because when we compare it, it's like a story. I would like to illustrate it to a story. It's a love story. Before any marriage act, there's always the background. We have to know the background of the husband and wife, that make sure that we understand one another. The husband and wife understand one another. First thing, there should be no any disharmony or hurt that is unsettled. That is the first step. You know, men can easily forget any mistake and hurts after a quarrel, but women can keep it for quite long. Don't ask me why. Maybe that's how women are more emotional. And you know, in women are highly sensitive. That's why when they move into the things of God, they are very accurate. Praise God. And make sure there is any hurt and disharmony be settled by prayer and kisses. And if, let's say, even the wife, the husband don't want to settle it, maybe the wife, you can humble yourself and say, actually, I got this thing against you, but I choose to give in in a marriage act because I forgive you. Jesus asked me to forgive you. At least release your hurt and your husband will respect you. What a great woman of God. She forgave me. And this is the first step. I'm talking about the background first, step one. Step two, I believe that we need to watch out. There must not be any sexual sins not confessed. I don't think there is any great fulfillment in a marriage act if one party has any sins. I mean in the area of sexual sins. And that's why any adultery happen in a marriage, I believe either party have the right to withdraw in the act that pattern after the spiritual unity. If any marriage that is broken, covenant that is broken, and there is no more marriage, and then there is no more marriage, there is no more marriage act. And by holding back, I believe it's a wise decision because we don't condone the sin of another party. And that will help the party to make the decision with a clear conscience and understanding what God wants out of marriage. Even Jesus ministers and brought the Holy Spirit unto the disciples, he makes sure that there is no unforgiveness of sin. And the unity in the marriage act, I believe it is a time, it's glorious time, anointed by the Lord. it is because it is to strengthen and build up the marriage. And I believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is there in everything we do. Amen? Okay. When we talk about the attitude about forgiving sins, sometimes sexual sins are not caused by either party. Some of them are victims, and they need help. For example, one girl was raped, and because she cannot forgive the sins of the other party, the person who raped her, and she will never have a fulfilled sex life, and that will affect her marriage literally. And in this type of case, I believe she needs to pray a prayer of forgiveness. You know that if we don't forgive, we retain the sin of another person. And any girl, for example, if she's raped, if she refuses to forgive, and she has not been ministered about forgiveness and pray for the person who committed the sin against her, actually she's holding the sin of that person to herself. The sin of lust, the fear of lust, the fear, poor self-image. In the end, this will turn out to destroy her marriage and her sex life itself. So, second thing is any sexual sin. And third area, I believe is many times we thought maybe sex is not much important and is no need preparation, but actually it really starts on the day you got married, or even on the time you give your heart to one another. And the atmosphere is produced by your daily time spending with one another. So the third area we talk about, atmosphere. The atmosphere we mentioned earlier is cover three areas. Your service to one another, not only serve one another, but the nice word, your lip service to one another. How pretty my wife is, how adorable, you are such a good wife and husband. Make sure you say that more to your wife if you want your wife to be lovely and beautiful and fresh and young. And the atmosphere can be shown forth by a call from the office and say how much I miss you, and give her a surprise by sending her a basket of rose from the office. It's prepared atmosphere. And how much I miss you, I need you. And the third area of atmosphere is a setting. I believe the women are very sensitive. The marriage act must be really in a place there the privacy is respected. A bedroom prefer to be a locked door. And another thing, because the setting, some people might choose candlelight, some people might choose a holiday, a honeymoon somewhere, but whatever you do, the final stage, the fourth, the last step, the climax itself, the act itself, it must be excitement. All these background, all these preparations of different steps is to reach a point that you will never get discouraged. You will be very excited. Let's look about the family planning. I need to point to this because it is related to the excitement of sexual act. Can Sister Cecilia please return on the... We talked about earlier about control. When God created women in such a way that she is to enjoy fun and creativeness in the sex. And you see, in a women's menstrual cycle, this is one of the methods of the family planning based on menstrual cycle and state period. Another word is calendar method. And you notice that the O represents the blood flow. The X is no blood flow. And the dash is a safe period. in every month, according to the cycle, let's say every perfect and normal body of a woman should be 28. You'll see a red circle. 28-day cycle. And the first day, the show of blood is day 1. From the first day, the show of blood until the day 28 is a 28 perfect normal cycle. And in a perfect normal cycle, and there will be safe sex life after the 21st day, the world will recommend. But I will say it after the 22nd day for safe sex. 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, where God allowed men and women to have sex without any fear, but to have fun and pleasure, and without fear of taking any responsibility. They have the right of sex, and they have the right not to have children, because God made it that way. But out of every cycle, there are at least nearly 2 weeks, there's 14 days, after the show of blood stop first day, normally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, usually 5. Some women last until 7 days. And from the stop flow of the blood until 22nd day, it is a fertile period. Fertile period. And during this fertile period, any couples who have sexual intercourse and they have this marriage blessings from the Lord, they must learn to accept responsibility. There will be babies. And after the 22nd day to the 28th day, in a perfect normal cycle, is a safe period. And from 28, we count all the circle continue. It's the beginning of another cycle. You count the 28 here until the next. Until the next one, 24, the first show of signs of blood on this day will be the next cycle. Sometimes, because of the women's body, a lot of stress, maybe of imbalanced food diet, not enough vitamins, especially under stress, the cycle will not be regular. You notice this one is 28 days. But from here you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. This is a perfect normal cycle. But this one, you notice that, let's say a woman under stress, the blood comes on the 29 instead of 28. How are we going to plan the family if there is a variation of 1 and 2 days or 3 days difference? You see, God is a perfect and creative God. When He creates women's body, it's so perfect that the menstrual cycle in normal perfect situation, it will be 28 days, 28 days, 28 days. When I say 28, from the first day of the show of blood until the next cycle. Now, within this 28 days, we know that there is a 2 week fertile period, and after the 22nd day to the next cycle, it will be a safe period. What we learn from this is because sometimes the menstruation vary. For example, this month, let's see. Which day it started? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. And the period didn't come till 24. What are we going to do? Normally, what we do is, you enjoy your sex life after the 22nd day from the first show of your menstruation period, and until the next show of blood. Within this period, usually got 7 days. But what happened, because of the earlier cycle is maybe 29, maybe 28, you always take the standard normal cycle 28 days. Okay? 28. Then you plus and minus from the 28. Let's say last month your cycle is 29. So you plus and minus 28 from 29 is just one day different. Okay? Let's say last month's cycle is 26 days. Now, then the difference between 28 and 26 is 2. Now, what are you going to do with this difference of 1 and 2 days? That means you're going to use 22nd day as a standard. You add the 1 to the 22. That means you can have safe sexual acts after 22 plus 1, that is 23rd. If it is less, after you calculate and minus or add, the difference is 2 days, let's say it's 2 days, you can minus from the 22, that means 20th day. The difference is your menstrual cycles, you minus and plus from the 28. After that, you get the differences of 1 or 2 days, you minus and plus from the 22 days. And it goes proportionately. Increase, you add. Decrease, you subtract. So this, thank you, Cecilia. And this, maybe you don't understand, if the explanation not clear, maybe after that you can come and ask me again. Jesus, help me, Lord. The reason I start off with this natural method is because in family planning, the main purpose is God allow us, husband and wife, to enjoy sex. It's not something to be fearful about. But it's sad to say many women especially fear of having babies. The reason is we are not properly taught. Maybe some of us already plan our marriage without understanding of the natural method, and maybe on based on doctors or other advice, we are starting to use pills because we don't have baby, or maybe injection, one injection 3 months, 5 months, and all the methods that we use for family planning, the whole idea is not to anti-baby. Okay? That is not God's way. God is never anti-baby. In fact, God's commandment is, you love the baby, be fruitful and multiply. We have the right of marriage act. We don't have the right to say, no baby. In fact, God gives you the right to be fruitful and multiply. The only key is control. We better learn to have control rather than turn to other sources. I need to say this because in counseling with many sisters, most of them take pills or maybe stick the IUD, the device that sticks into the uterus. It's usually a loop shape, a bowl shape, or sometimes it's a metal framework like umbrella structure. It sticks into the uterus. This can fix earlier before any marriage act and do it for the sake of family planning. And you know, all this method, IUD itself, it fixed in such a way that it create the, make the uterus, the womb, a hostile environment that it causes the implantation, the impossibility for the implantations of the fertilized egg, the ovum, and prevent the baby to be formed in the body. It is actually a method used as an early abortion. In other words, if you use IUD, you're going through an abortion, an early abortion, and actually it will not do good to your uterus, the lining. And if you use it too long, for medical research, there is cases that your uterus infections, chronic infections, because the tissue keeps tearing, and bleeding will start, and sometimes the thing sticks inside the uterus so in that it pierces through the wall, the tissue of the uterus, and it will cause complications. And sterility may happen. No babies. You use it too long. For Pill's method, its main idea is to suppress the ovulation. It means suppress the egg being fertilized by the sperm. But this is not natural. Anything due to the woman's body, who is the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 16:9. If anything due to the body that is unnatural, we have side effects. In fact, the pills and the injections is so powerful that if any accident and the eggs began to be fertilized by the sperm and it tried to implant onto the womb, the wall and the tissue of the womb, some of these injections and pills are so strong that it will cause the tissue lining to be a place to be hostile and expelled, and it caused an abortion. And why I share this is because this is important for the health of women. And because God has not given us something that causes us to suffer. Imagine if you have to suffer just because for the sake. You won't enjoy it. You won't take it as a gift from God. Whereas in the calendar method, everything is natural. You just have to exercise control, and after 22nd day, you just add a minus one proportionately to the increase of the day and the decrease of the day. Family planning is not a method that you use to control and anti-baby in a modern marriage. In modern marriage, they will think that, oh, the best is I don't have children. I don't know how to bring up children. And you know, a lot of fears. One thing is that it is the church responsibility, and it is the responsibility of we parents teach the children when they reach a mature age to receive this kind of teaching about sex, and about even when they got married, advise them about family planning. The reason we plan our family so that we can flow with God's cycle, so that we don't bring any unwanted pressure. You know, you want to have babies, you know there is a time when we are ready, when we are time that we are not ready. And we know that when we are time that there's time that we can afford financially to raise up a child, and there is a time that we are not ready. So that is the whole purpose, to plan for a happy marriage. Family planning is not to without thinking and jump to any methods and using any modern contraception method, and in the end the women have to suffer. And if you see the chart earlier, maybe we switch it on again one more time. Thank you, Cecilia. In the natural cycle, in every 28 day, you find that there's a safe period, usually towards the end last week, before the next menstrual cycle starts. And you see that, for example, this one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, actually 6 days. And for this one, 1, 2, 3, 4. And actually this one can be added 24, 25. It can minus and plus. But what I'm trying to say is that you might sometimes might think that, oh, the fifth period is so short. But with exercise of control every month, and especially with husbands who travel overseas and they come back, this exercise of control, you feel like, oh, when you all come back together, it is just like honeymoon time. And why not every month you have honeymoon? Because there is a price to pay in the marriage act. Any time that is not on any action that is involved during not safe period, you must take the responsibility. You must face up of accepting and prepare to have the baby. And I believe God's grace and is sufficient for all of us in all areas. Amen? To understand further about the acts of marriage, maybe you can read the Act of Marriage by Tim and Beverly Lahey. Second book, Sexual Happiness in Marriage by Herbert Mouse. Intended for Pleasure by Dr. Ed Sweet. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that it is your grace and your love that draw us and teach us. And Father God, we continue to look unto you as a source of help. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace, we speak joy into our life. Father, we declare that for each family here, represented here by husband and wife, Father, I speak blessing and unity into each heart and mind. Father, I thank you that your spirit of love continue to draw each husband and wife together to cause each one of them to flow in unity and in love. Father, whatever area we feel to see and whatever mistake we have done, cover it with your precious blood. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.